For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, November the 25th, 1983. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance seminar. Bill Smith is the teacher of the morning.
Just heard. We are an instrument.
Yes.
Several times it said we are an instrument. It said we are a sharp instrument.
Sharp dressing.
And an instrument that's sharp is something for warfare.
Amen.
The Lord tells us that we're his threshing instrument. And he calls us his battle axe. That means warfare. That means you're in a hard place. You have to fight. That means there's an enemy against you. And most of the time, the enemy is the one that you think should love you. Instead of a narrow way. A narrow way. It means that you have to seek out the path that you walk in. It's not easy to find. You have to hunt for it. And then keep my commandments. Most of us, it said, separate from the unclean. And most of us have never studied to find out what the unclean is or how to apply it to our lives. And one aspect of the unclean, when you talk about it, everybody rebels against you and says you're in false doctrine and you've twisted the scripture. But it's still there. And one of the reasons that a lot of us are sick is because we do not adhere to God's laws concerning the clean and the unclean. Say, I can eat my bacon. Nobody told me not to. Go ahead. Eat it. God says it's an abomination. A lot of other things that slip right there with it. You say, now you're getting, okay. You pick and choose, and you'll not have God's blessing. The Lord says, eat ye all of it. Take ye the lamb and eat it all. This last days, the Lord's going to get pretty fine with those who come into what God's calling us to walk into. Do we want to walk in the ways of the Lord? Do we want to be his battle axe? And if we do, we must search the scriptures and apply them to our heart and life in every aspect, not in just what we want to take out and use and do. We must apply it in every aspect of our life and study the word to show ourselves approved unto God, and not taking out that which we like and leaving that which we don't like or following traditions. We're bound, every one of us that's here today, including myself, are still bound by traditions. Traditions of man, traditions of the church. And Lord, help us to be able to separate out and separate the traditions from us of our ancestors and of the church, and to become a holy people, to walk in a path of holiness before the Lord for his name's sake, that we will be able to walk in health and strength and in all these things. Say, we want health and strength. We want the blessing of the Lord in the spiritual realm. Okay? Then we praise and worship the Lord. We want the blessing of the Lord in our physical realm. Sometimes praising and worshiping the Lord does not bring blessing to our physical realm. There are some things that we have to do to walk in holiness before the Lord according to his word, that we have physical health. You can't always just praise the Lord and expect, and then do your own thing in other areas of your life and expect God's blessing. We have to apply it in every way. We have to rightly divide the word and put it in a way and divide it so that we walk in health and strength as well as in the blessing of the Lord in our spiritual life. But we come into these things as we praise and worship the Lord. And then we study for ourselves to see and to study the word of the Lord and apply it and to see if these things be so and not kick against the pricks. Now, if the Lord plain outright tells you that you can do so-and-so and that you're not bound by his law and you can do so-and-so and that he set his law aside for you, then you walk in that. You go ahead and do it. But don't try to get somebody else to do that just because you're at liberty to do it. But I'm not sure that you're at liberty to do it. For too long we've had people tell us that, well, the Lord gave me permission to do this, or he gave me permission to do that, and then imply that you can't do that. Well, if you can't do it, they can't either. That's right. That's right. That's right. And we've been led by false prophets. Too many of us have been led by false prophets. And we need to know the word of the Lord, and we need to know his voice and not follow the voice of a man. We need to follow God's word. That's more important than the word of, than a prophecy. If a prophecy is contradictory to God's word, then it's a false prophet. Amen. And a false prophecy. Amen. Because it will never go against the word of the Lord. For his word is set forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but that word of the Lord will never pass away. That is God's word for eternity. That is what will rule and reign during the millennium. And when the millennium is over and gone, that's what will rule and reign the universe. God's word. It's all there. He doesn't have to add any more to it, and there's nothing to take away. It's there for eternity. And from that will the kingdom be ruled by the word that's already given. Will God's kingdom be ruled. And his kingdom is the universe. That's the kingdom of God. We don't understand that. We don't know how to explain it. We don't know how to fathom it. But we haven't entered in yet into a beginning in all of the 6,000 years that's behind us and all that we've had. we do not begin yet to have an understanding of the kingdom of God. Or the millennium, or the eons that's out before us. We don't understand. But God's got universes out there that are yet to be taken, I believe, for him. I don't know how, but I believe that. I believe that this is the throne room. This earth is the throne room of the universe. Here is the throne room. And from here shall the universe be ruled under the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of the universe. Hallelujah. And what and how he ever thought to let us be part of that kingdom is beyond fathom. This earth is not even as a speck of dust under a microscope in comparison to the universe. And we live on that speck. And how small are we in comparison to that little speck? We are as of nothing to be found under a microscope that would have to be multiplied a million times to find us in comparison to the universe. And yet, God saw fit that we should be called his sons. Oh, it's beyond what we can think. When you think of it, it's beyond what our mind can comprehend. The height and the depth of the love of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated, and we'll turn the morning service over to Brother Bill Smith to teach us from the word of the Lord this morning.
Isn't God good to us? Amen. You know, I have people to come with so many different things, and people has come and said, well, Brother Smith, did you know that Jesus is dissolved in the body of Christ, and there is no more Jesus? Well, then I have people that take their little old pen knife and they cut out the scriptures that they want and leave the rest for me, and them for you. And I want to do my thing. But brother and sister, when you learn to go on with God, you're going to be like the Apostle Paul, even though that he was in the dungeon or in the prison. He never at no time acknowledged that he was in jail, but he was the prisoner of the Lord. And so this is what we're looking for today. That Jesus Christ, our Lord, is our boss today. Hallelujah. He is in charge. And there's only one way into the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we thank the Lord this morning for all of the worship and the words that's been said this morning. And we're just enjoying this count. This has been, we had a great service last night, and the prayer services yesterday was beautiful. And God is in this place. And I believe it's for one purpose, and that's to take you and I on into the fullness of God. Excuse me. God's not interested in you and I being a baby all of our life. God wants us to grow up, and God wants us to be able to eat the strong meat that belongs unto them that are full age. And so, anymore, I don't try to take any scriptures out to suit me. I just say, Lord, I want the Word of God to be made flesh in this earthen vessel of mine. That the power be of God and not of me. And so today, I have a word of the Lord that I know that God has shared with me. And I want to share it with you this morning. Because, folks, I know that God is looking for overcomers. And then I have people say, oh, Brother Smith, I overcome my habits. Well, praise the Lord that you overcame the habit. But you know that word overcome? It means to him that overcometh. Overcometh, and overcometh, and overcometh, and overcometh. Praise the Lord. And so, you see, day after day, we are being made overcomers. And if you please, he that overcometh inherit all things. And so that's what we are looking for today. And I appreciate Brother Glenn. You know, it's like people, they don't listen to the laws of the Spirit of God. Sometimes they say, oh, I sure do love that strawberry shortcake. Oh, that is so beautiful and that looks so good. But many times, those things like that make my stomach sort of upset. So you see, the law of the Spirit in my life tells me not to eat all of that. See, but a lot of people, just because they like it, they go ahead and do it, and then they suffer the consequences of it. And so, you see, God deals with us many times in our laws of our body. It's just like one time I got food poison in Mexico. I became so weak that I did not know what to do. And I knew that, well, what are you going to do with a doctor? Well, first of all, you don't know where to find no doctor. And besides that, there's none in the jungle. And so this time I got out of the vehicle and I crawled into the woods. And I said, God, we're going to have to settle this thing right here now because I can't go no farther. And you know, as I began to cry out to God, and brother and sister, I had prayed every prayer that I thought that I could pray. And I was sort of like the woman that had the issue of blood. I hadn't got no better, but I gradually grew worse. But all of a sudden, brother and sister, I touched God. And it was just like that I had on a real tight garment. And somebody had loosened that garment and taken it off from me. And from that time until this day, every time that I've ate food in those jungles, I said, God, I'm going to take this down by your word, and I'm expecting you to keep it down, and I'll receive nourishment of it. And from that day till this day, I've never been sick in the field. And so, you see, there's not only a place in God that God can cleanse the food, but God can keep you from getting sick on the food. Praise the Lord. And so this is what we're reaching out in God, to overcome in every aspect of our life. Now, last night, I know we got a little rebuff back on the rapture, but I blame Glenn for it because he hit it first. So after he hit it, I just plowed me an avenue right down through it. But now don't get upset because, you see, a little over 20 years ago, I lost my rapture. And when I lost my rapture, it took me 2 or 3 days to get over it. Well, but thank God I never did preach that there was one. I just believed it because I was taught it by my forefathers. And everybody told me that there was one, and so I believed it because they told me, but I couldn't even prove it. And I couldn't even find it in the Bible. But I still believed it. And then my pastor told me, he said, now look, all of those people that teach there is no rapture, if they're in error, don't believe it. But brother and sister, you can never find not one word in this Bible that tells you that God takes the righteous out and leaves the sinners. Brother and sister, in every indication of the Bible, the Word of God, He takes the unrighteous out and leaves the righteous here. And before we go into the message this morning, I want to read you a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, that prophesy and say that thou unto them that prophesy out of their own heart, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up unto the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. What had they said? We were all going to fly away, and you ain't told none of them that they was going to have to overcome. Huh? Is that what it says there? You didn't tell them that they were going to have to stand in the day of the battle in the day of the Lord. Now, brother and sister, this morning, you and I are living in the days of the coming of our Lord. It's a day of darkness. It's a day of gloominess. But brother and sister, the same scripture said that, but there's never been a generation that's brought forth like unto that generation. And brother, if you please, brother, you're the best that God has got. You said, Brother Smith, I'm not very much known. When I stand in Bill Smith, I don't amount to nothing. But in him, brother, I am a part of the best that he has got. Come on, folks. We don't stand alone, and we don't stand in ourselves. Brother Green, we learned that a long time ago. But standing in God this morning, brother, I stand with a group of people that are some of the best that God's got on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. And brother and sister, we're teaching day after day that we are in the days of the coming of our Lord, and we're going to have to stand back. You said, now, I'm glad that you asked. Turn with me into Thessalonians. We'll get to the message in just a moment. I'm glad you asked me to turn over here. Praise the Lord. Thessalonians. Let's just, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as ye sorrow as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also that sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, There was an admonition given by Brother Glenn this morning about studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. The Amplified Version says rightly handling the word of truth. Notice something, there was a shout given here. Look up the word shout in the Greek in this context right here. And brother and sister, it's a war cry. A military shout. And brother, there is a warfare that's going to bring peace and it's going to bring joy to this earth that we are living in. People have said, Brother Smith, don't you know that you're living in a day when you're going to just minister love? Sure, we're going to minister love. But brother and sister, I've never had no kingdom of this world come and fall at my feet and say, I give up. I give up. I quit. But brother, I want you to know, it's like Joshua said, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, it is yours. I know that we speak the word a lot of times and we just walk into it. But brother, there's times that you have to walk it out in shoe leather in the earth. There was a shout given up, but it was a war cry. Prepare for battle. Then you said, but and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, brother and sister, there are rain clouds, and then we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, the Greek word on the rendering of this word air here, brother, is ground level air. There is the air that you have to have the oxygen mask to travel through, or there in your space, in your cabin, in your airplane. But brother, this is earth air. And brother, we are being caught up in the realm of the Spirit of God, and we are changed by the Spirit of God while we're yet walking in this earth. Brother, I'm expecting change to take place within my life while I am here in this camp, hallelujah to God. I want you to know I was raptured last night, and I'm being raptured at this moment of being caught up in the realm of God, that I can change into the likeness and to the image of the pattern son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, folks, I learned a long time ago that I'm going to plant and I'm going to eat of it. And I'm going to build and live in it. The Bible said I'm going to be placed in there and pulled out no more. Brother and sister, you and I went in and we've been partakers of the things of God and we've come back out. But brother, there's a day coming that you and I are going in and coming out no more. No more. Brother, we're going to see the fullness of God manifested in these earthen vessels that's upon this earth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Caught up in the air to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, if the Lord would let us, we might deal in those two companies. Those that sleep in Jesus and those that die in Christ. You said, I thought they were the same. No, it isn't. Because brothers like her, there's a many folk that's been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in one realm. But then those that are walking out the in Christ in life in the earth is in another realm. The only reason that there is because those that die in Christ, is they just didn't miss death. And those that are alive and remain, they are caught up together with the Lord. But brother and sister, our cry is this, that you and I put this bondage of corruption, this death, underfoot.
Amen.
Now, death is not a friend to none of us. It's an enemy. Now, the Bible says that it is. And that's our cry today, that we put it underfoot. So therefore, if you don't put death underfoot, you walk this out in God, you develop and you mature, that the in Christ in life come in you, and then the dead in Christ shall rise first. But those that are asleep in Jesus sleep for 1,000 years. Give you some food for thought now. All right, turn with me into the book of Proverbs, and we'll go to the word of the Lord for message number 2. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. Verse 19, the weight of an eagle in the air. Now, first of all, I would like for us to just touch this in passing. I know that Brother Britton, his theme is Eagle Saints, because I've known Brother Britton for a long time. I met him in Houston, Texas, many years ago. But brother and sister, the eagle, the first thing that he does about his enemy, he flies into the heavenlies instead of letting the problem get on him. He gets on the problem. Instead of him letting the problem get over him, he gets stays on top of it all the time. The enemy, one of it, I mean, the eagle, one of his characteristics is this. It is to take even a snake, a serpent, that will crawl into the nest where that his eggs are. They will take that serpent right behind the neck, behind the head, on the neck there, and fly as high as they can fly because, you see, they have their own built-in oxygen. They're the only animal or only bird that has like a windshield that they can pull down over their eyes and fly right straight into the sun. And they will always fix their wings and set them set for a wind, that the wind will help them to get them into the air. Instead of struggling and fighting against the wind of adversity, they allow the winds to put them into the heavenlies. That reminds me of Hannah and Peninnah in Samuel. You remember Hannah was barren and had no children. But her adversaries provoked her sore until she went into the presence of God instead of away from the presence of God. And her adversaries brought her into the presence of God until she cried out for a man-child. And God gave her one. Now, notice, and they'll take this enemy of theirs and they'll drop it on the sharpest object that they can see and let him splatter all over it. That makes me think again of David. I never do remember of David ever having to deal with Goliath again. Because when David smote Goliath, he didn't only smote him, but he slew him. He took the sword out of Goliath's own head and took his head off. And brother and sister, today, you and I, when God brings these deliverance within us, we need to take its head off that we are not troubled with that one again. Brother Glenn, in Memorial Camp, I heard him dealing with a young man because the young man said he wanted me to pray with him, and Glenn and I. And this young man had been delivered from a problem, and he went back and messing around with again. And Glenn told him and teased him and said, I already hit you between the eyes with a two before. And teasing him. But brother and sister, today, we need to come to the realization when we deal with this thing, brother, let's get rid of that one and start dealing with some more until we can get rid of the last one. That's what we're after today. So we see this is something, he said, the way of an eagle in the air. And brother and sister, today, this is what God is saying to you and I. Then notice again, the way of a serpent upon the rock. Now, I was born in the state of Oklahoma. You said, Brother Smith, I thought something was wrong with you. Well, I was born in Oklahoma, raised in California, and lived in Texas. That's what my problem is. But on our ranch in Oklahoma, we had some grazed prairies on our ranch there. Many times as we would go down to see about the cattle, there were a lot of those old snakes they call blue racers, and that's what we call them, black snakes, you know. But brother and sister, I declare to you that you can look many times in those sandy trails and roads, and you can see where that old snake, that old serpent had wiggled and left his track upon the sand. But brother and sister, they say, here's the way of a serpent upon the rock. Brother, I've seen them crawl out of those little branches, Brother Glenn, on that ranch there in Oklahoma. And when that old serpent would crawl upon that rock, brother, he left no print. And brother and sister, this is where that we're coming to today, that we come into complete deliverance in God, that there is no print of the serpent that's upon this generation that we're living in. The way of a serpent upon the rock. Brother Paul said that Jesus Christ was that rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But brother and sister, notice this morning, Matthew chapter 4. The Bible said that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Brother and sister, every last one of us, the wilderness is your domain. The children of Israel were led into the wilderness. But there were many that were overthrown in the wilderness because of unbelief. And brother and sister, the only problem that every one of us are going to the wilderness. The Son of God went into the wilderness. You're going into the wilderness. But your wondering is your mistake.
You're wandering for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years in the wilderness is mine and your mistake. Because, brother and sister, the Son of God only stayed into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, which is divine testing upon the earth. And, brother and sister, today, if God is not pleased with you and I staying around in the wilderness, but God wants you and I to come up out of the wilderness with the powers of the merchant man are leaning upon the beloved, hallelujah, to God in the day that we're living in. But many, about 2 weeks ago now, minister of the week in eastern Oklahoma. I can remember us. You see, I was called to preach when I was 5 years old. God stood before my bed, called me. I didn't know. I was afraid to tell anybody about it. Because actually, in my genealogy, there is no preachers. I've got no uncles. I've got no aunts. I've got no cousins. I've got nobody that's preachers. Nobody in my genealogy. I didn't want to tell my parents. I didn't want to tell them this kind of thing. But brother and sister, I said that to say this. Down there preaching in eastern Oklahoma, there's some of those people that they shouted all over me when I was just a baby. I can remember sneaking back under the bench, getting shouted on. But brother, today they're still walking in that same wilderness that they was when I was born upon the face of the earth. But brother, they're still in that same level and still in that same dimension in God. And brother and sister, that is not pleasing to God. Brother, God wants to bring us out until there is no mark of the fallen race upon you and I. No mark. The way of the serpent upon the rock. Then we'll notice, as Jesus said there, Matthew 4:4, he looked at him again. He said, it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Brother, I declare unto you this morning that the word of God is forever settled, and the devil can't unsettle the word of God. Right. Brother, that's mine, your stay. That's mine, your fortress, and that's our tower. Brother, that we bind this word upon us, that you and I come to the position that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that we know that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. He said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. But now, I want you to turn with me over into the book of Genesis. And let's look here. Genesis chapter 3. The first thing that the enemy tries to do to leave his mark upon you is try to put doubt upon the word of God. There was a man came to me one time. He says, Bill, he said, man wrote the Bible and man makes mistakes. I said, but there's one thing you failed to mention, that they were inspired by God when they wrote the book. They was under the influence of the Holy Spirit when they wrote the book. And the first thing that the serpent does is try to bring doubt upon the word of God. Notice the word was given to Adam and Eve not to partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But you see, the enemy warned them to tell that they're going to be as wise as God. And we've got ministry today that they think they're as wise as God. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm not complete within myself. Brother, I have to have you to make me complete in God. Because what I like, you add to what I like. Brother and sister, we need one another. All right, then we'll notice something here again. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, I received a word from the Lord. And Bill Smith was the vessel that gave it. I wonder if it was God speaking, or I wonder if that was Bill Smith. I wonder about that word that I received from the Lord. Brother and sister, today we're coming to a place in a domain in God. When we speak of the oracles of God, brother, it's God speaking to you. Now let's notice, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. So you see, Eve quietly listened to the evil one challenging the word of God. But brother and sister, we see Jesus, the last Adam, he said it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone. But brother, I'm here to tell you this morning that our first parents sold us out. They sold us out in the garden. But brother and sister, the last Adam went into the garden of Gethsemane and he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. And brother, we were won back into the garden again. And brother and sister, now we're talking about the way of the serpent upon the rock. Brother, God is wanting to bring forth a generation like the rock, the Son of God, in this earth that we are living in today, that there is no mark left upon it. Then let's notice again, we hear the great prophecy. 3:15. And I will put enmity, this is being hostile, between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Now this is a great prophecy that God is speaking unto fallen humanity. And brother and sister, this is where that all of the problem has started unto you and I. Then if you'll notice again in verse 24, so he drove out man and placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim, a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So now we see that the guard of Eden is guarded now. It's got signs wrote up by the Spirit, as it were, keep out. Brother Adam and Eve had no sons born in the Garden of Eden. They were all born outside of Eden with a fallen nature, because the mark was left upon humanity. So then we read again that Cain, she noticed down in verse 1 of the 4th chapter, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Brother and sister, she thought within her being that this is the man that's going to bruise Satan's head for what he has done. But brother and sister, this was not the man. He fell. Because why did he fall, Brother Smith? Glad you asked. Because he offered of his own doings. He offered a vegetable sacrifice, and God's not interested in mine and your own doings. I do not approach God and say, God, I've kept your commandments, and God, I've lived holy today. Brother, I come boldly into the presence of God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I am not good enough, nor neither will I ever be. But, brother, I come in the goodness of God, not in my goodness. Into the presence of God. And so, therefore, now we see that Cain was not the man, because he offered a vegetable sacrifice of his own doing in the field. But Abel offered a blood sacrifice. And, brother, that's what God had wanted from the beginning. Now, let's notice something. So from that time on, God has sought for a man. As we said last night, not an individuality, but a corporate man, a many-membered body to make up this one company. Many aspects, many ministries, but it's all the same Spirit to make up this body. So God sought for this. Now let's notice again in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Notice the cry, what he's saying here in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now, brother and sister, today this is what we're talking about. The way of the serpent upon the rock. You and I, in many areas, we still need deliverance. You have been saved from the world. Many aspects, you've been saved from the devil. But now you're in process of being saved from yourself. Redeemed from yourself, because I got married so young, I always looked for the day when I would be 21, and then I was going to be boss. And when I got to be 21, I found out I didn't know any more about being a boss than I did when I got married, when I was just young. When I get 21, I'm going to be a man, and I'm going to do my thing, because I was limited even though I was married, because I wasn't old enough. But brother and sister, today I declare unto you that God is looking for a man today that will build up the gap and be a bridge over the gap and be a hedge in the hour that we're living in. Brother and sister, today we said last night to be a cupboard in the time of the storm. And this is what God is looking for today. A people that left no mark upon them. Nothing of the fallen nature. Nothing of the old Adamic nature. Nothing of the first Adam. But everything attributed unto the last Adam. Praise the Lord. And this again said, I sought for a man. I sought for a man. And brother and sister, and I found none to stand in the gap before me. And the land that I should not destroy it, but I found not. Now, brother and sister, today, God is searching out. And I feel that I must turn to this man. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. And let's look at this man that God is talking about. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. First of all, he's talking about the fivefold ministry, the hand ministry. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now notice this word here, till, is a time word. Now brother and sister, this time word is still alive today. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. Now brother and sister, God's not looking for us to try to get some little chimney corner scripture somewhere that we'll all agree upon. But God's looking for us to all to say the same thing. And that we all float together and see eye to eye. Now that's what God is looking for. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. And to the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto, here's the man. Unto a perfect man. Unto the statue of the fullness of Christ. Now that's God's measuring stick. We've seen measuring sticks all down through our Christian walk today. But this is God's standard. Brother, till we all come into this unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the statue of the fullness of Christ. What for? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Now I want to tell you something. When we see one another, we say, now we sure do bear witness. Our spirit bears witness with that individual. But since I've been in this ministry for a little over 21 years now, there were many ministries that started out with us. But then when we begin to see more separation and more separation until we come into the image that God was after, and all, many of them turn back and walk no more with us. But brother and sister, today we're looking after the image of God. In the one that said it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That there was no mark left upon him. Then let's notice, fitly joined together. As I've been coming to this camp, my third time here, there are many of you that I seen when I was here the first time. I feel that I am more joined together with you than I was when the first time I came down here. But from many times from years ago, instead of us joined together and growing together, we have grown apart. We have grown apart. And if you really want to get to know somebody, you just live with them. Especially if you really want to know them, you get into the mission field and start living in a 22-foot motorhome. In real close quarters. And you'll sure get to know everybody. You'll see what makes them tick. But brother and sister, today, God is wanting us to grow together and not grow apart. Grow together and compacted by every joint which supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Maketh the increase of the body into the edifying of itself. In love. Now, that's what he's after, this man. Then let's notice again, Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah 13, verse 12. And let's see what this great prophet is talking about here. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 12. I will make a man more precious than fine gold. You do know that gold speaks of the divinity of God, the nature of God. Even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Now, I know as I walked around this property, I saw wood that was laying up there and it was split. Well, you have to use wood splitters, wedges, or whatnot to split that wood. The wedge is to put in to divide. There is a wedge that the enemy inserts in to divide husband and wife and family apart, and even members in the church apart. But, brother, I'm talking about a wedge that's going to go in between the enemy and God's people, that's going to sever the relationship between the enemy and God's people. I will make a man like the wedge of the golden wedge of Orpha. Brother and sister, today God is bringing forth that wedge within this end time that's going to come between us and the enemy, and there's not going to be any mark that's left upon us that he has left, because it's being erased. Paul talks about the church in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, about it being a glorious church, full of God's glory. And it's not a church that's mine. It's not a church that's got blemishes, wrinkles, or spots upon it, but it's been removed. And brother and sister, that's what God is doing here. That's why that you and I have gathered here over these holidays. Someone said to me yesterday, said, Brother Smith, we're so grateful that you came, that you've left your family over the holiday and came down here to be with us. But brother and sister, when this call is upon your life, I'm telling you, you're not satisfied until that you're answering that call. But I'm a preacher that I love to sit down and to learn, because, brother, I want to stand and give, and I'll never be able to stand and give until I sit and learn. I want to be sent when I'm sent. And when I'm going for God, I want it to be not just a date that we've come and agreed upon, but a date that God has called and destined that we be there. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, what does he say? A golden wedge. I will make a man. Now, brother and sister, this is what God is doing today. Then let's notice again as the Apostle Paul cries out as he comes to the church at Galatia again. In Galatians chapter 4, 19, we won't turn there, but we'll just quote that verse to you. Paul has come back, and I know a lot of people think they got it all the first time. But I got news for us today. You are saved, you're being saved, and you're going to be saved. A salvation word is a progressive word. It's an inclusive word. That we are saved, being saved, and going to be saved. Or you say, but Brother Smith, there is a word in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what did it say? In Christ. He is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. That don't say when you and I just accept Jesus as our Savior, as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But brother, that's the inworking of the Christ that's worked within our life. And then there is where God has brought us. And notice again while we're running in this area. Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So you see, folks, there's a vast difference between you accepting Jesus as your Savior and you growing up and developing and the inworking of the Christ in you, because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us that our life is hid with Christ and in God. And that's where we're headed for today, that our life is hid with Christ and in God. Praise the Lord. Now, God is after a God-man, a ruling man. Now, I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. So Paul said in Galatians 4 and 17. 19, rather. All right. Now, let's notice a little further as we go on. Turn with me into the book of Romans now. And let's look at this apostle of God and see what he had to say. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Now this is what happened in the garden. This is what happened there from the serpent bite of sin. All right? But then he said, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now today, are you reigning or are you running? Brother and sister, God wants you and I to reign in life. And brother, any time that the enemy lays hold upon you, brother, death is set in. He come only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all that he's after is to destroy. Brother, he's been after destroying business from day one. Because look, when Jesus was born, I'm going to kill every male child from 2 years old and under. I want to get rid of him. And the steel thing is going on today. But brother and sister, today we're going to reign in life by one Jesus Christ, our Lord, the last Adam. And that's why that we're overcoming the mark that was put upon the human race. Praise the Lord. And I think again, as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and 17, he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the theologian says, but he's talking about the cat. 9 tails, 39 stripes, save one. But brother, that's not what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bear his nature in my body. I bear his attitude, the fruit of the Spirit, in my body. And brother and sister, that's what God is looking for. You and I, that we have a change of character. We have a change of nature because we've been partakers of that divine nature of God himself. Amen. Hallelujah. So I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I would like for us to go on to a little further here, into the book of St. John now, chapter 14 and verse 30. And let's look here. John chapter 14, verse 30. Jesus is dealing here about the Comforter coming, the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things, bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He goes on, he said, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But now I want us to look on down to the verse that we're after. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And I know that the Bible teaches us that he's the prince of the power of this world. But I got news for him today. He is not the power of my world.
Amen.
Come on. He's not the power of my world. Hallelujah to our God. Because brother and sister, I'm looking for the pleasing God. As we said earlier, he that overcometh, overcometh, and overcometh, and overcometh, until there be no mark left upon me, and he'll find nothing in me. Nothing. And nothing in you. Because why? That you and I have overcome. Then let's notice again, as God is dealing in the same year. Turn with me now. In Revelation chapter 12, you didn't know we was going to go through the whole Bible, did you? And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her a crown of 12 stars. Now, you read in the first chapter of your book, and God says, I create the two lights. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. All right, then she's clothed with the crown of 12 stars around her head. What is she saying there? Here is the church again that's after the flood. Here is the one that there's no mark that's left upon her. All right, then she's got the fullness of ministry. But if she's a shadowing all, did you see the moon is a reflection of the sun? She's shadowing all of the patriarchs that was going on before us. Then notice what she says here. And she being with child, crying, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. I want to say to us today, you and I suffer many birth pains and bringing forth the Son of God within mine and your life. But you know something? After that we've yielded to God and we've seen God birth us forth in those areas, we forget about the pain. There has been times in my earlier ministry that I went into my study and I went in there and I thought about all the things and all the problems that I've had. You see, we pastors, not only do we have our problems, we have the problems of the flock. And not only of the flock, I receive phone calls day after day from across this nation praying for people. Have not only mine, but theirs too. But there's been a time that I've went in there, and as it were, I had a list. I didn't write them down literally, but I was thinking about all the problems and everything. And about that time, there would be a surge of God's glory. And then I remember what Paul said in Romans 8 and 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. Brother and sister, and then what does that do? That erases all the problems. And then I get up and have me a camp meeting. Come on, folks. We're not to live in the muddy grub. Brother, we are the generation that's crying out at travailing and birth, and we are going to bring forth the man-child in this earth that we're living in. The one in whom there is no mark of Satan. That's why that this leadership here is crying out for deliverance in your life. Because they want everything out of you that's kin to Him. That you can walk in the fullness of God in this earth. Hallelujah. And brother and sister, we'll never overcome completely until we get rid of all of these things, these hang-ups, and these things that hinder you and I from progressing in the Lord. Then as she's travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. Just hold your place there where you're at. And I want to go into John, and I'll give you the scripture. John chapter 16, verse 20. But I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, for the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned unto joy. Verse 21 is the one that I'm after. A woman, when she is in travail, have sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. Come on, folks. Brother and sister, God's removing these birth pains within you and I, and you and I are receiving glory. I remember a man named Samson one time was on his way to a wedding, to his wedding, if you please. And if you please, we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb one of these days. All right? And so there was a lion that roared out against Samson. Samson grabbed that lion and he ripped it apart as a kid, but he didn't tell his mother and dad about it. So Samson came on his way back, and the thing that roared out against him, he got honey out of it. Brother and sister, I use every problem that comes my way for a stepping stone to bring me into the kingdom. Because, brother and sister, God uses it to reveal what is in you and to bring it up to surface, that it can be dealt with. Brother, that's why and I so appreciate y'all emphasizing prayer and worship. Because the Word of God says, as a fine pot is for the silver, so is a man unto his praise. As a furnace for gold, so is a man unto his praise. And brother, praise will purify and purge you. Come on. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. There's been times that I've had situations that's come my way. I prayed every prayer. I took every kind of authority, Brother Glenn, that I could think of that I could take in the Word of God. And it seemed like that things didn't change. And all of a sudden, with this old wore-out voice of mine, I couldn't carry a tune in a satchel and it zipped up. Come on. Start singing and taking a psalm. Did you know that the Bible says take a psalm? Come on. If you don't have one, you'll get one out of the book and you take it for God. And now all of a sudden, take one of those psalms and begin to sing it unto the Lord. Thank God that He said we make a joyful noise unto Him. And praise God, and all of a sudden it seemed like that there was another world that you were born into because God removed the circumstances. Why? Because there was an attitude change toward God. Hallelujah. But brother and sister, today, I want you to know there's no little old Tom, Dick, and Jerry that's going to overcome and to be a son of God in this end time. It's going to take men and women that's got a strong backbone, that's willing to separate themselves unto God. Now, the birth pains. I didn't mean to do this the other day, but it just... some person came to us, the church hoppers. You know, they just hop wherever they want to hop to. They came to us and not going and get established. I like what this man says, being established in God. Because the house of the Lord is going to be established in the top of the mountain. Not a denomination. I don't care how many years that you've worked for one. Not a denomination, the house of the Lord. It's going to be established in the top of the mountain in all nations. It's going to flow into it, and then we're going to learn the ways of God. Now, that's the book. All right? This man came to me with a little old flimsy excuse, a little old flimsy thing that the reason why that he couldn't do such for God. I laughed in his face. Brother and sister, we do whatever we want to do for God. And whatever we will to do for God, we can do it. And brother and sister, God's not looking for any little old flimsy excuses. God's looking for people that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. I am sufficient for anything. I am ready for anything. I am equal to anything. That is, I am self-sufficient in God's sufficiency. That's the amplified verse of it. And brother and sister, today, that's why that we see sickness, and that's why that we're seeing death in the body today, because people are not discerning the Lord's body. Come on. They're not discerning the Lord's body. And brother and sister, today, we're becoming more body conscious than we've ever been in the day of our life. And we're not self-centered and looking for just me and my four and no more. But brother, we're reaching out to that mother's children that's down in the barroom or out on the street. And we're sending the word unto them that God's grace will apprehend them and that will bring them to the house of God, that they can get their lives straightened out and walk in this walk with us today. Brother and sister, it's coming about. It's coming about. And let's notice now as we go on a little further. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, brother and sister, he's standing before the church today. Come on. To devour the child as soon as it's being born. Now, brother and sister, I want to tell you something. Many of us, we sat around and we slept in our selfish bed of ease, when there was many times that that spirit came into the flock of God and took people out of that flock, and we went on and forgotten about it. But brother, I remember when David was in his problem, when God had knitted Jonathan and David together, heart together, that Jonathan went into the woods and strengthened David. And brother and sister, today, and I want to declare unto us today, until you can weep over that mother's child or that mother's son that's on drugs or on alcohol or wherever it may be, or that daughter that's in prostitution, that's walking up and down the highways and so on, folks, you need to take another repentance down to this altar. Because, brother, if you're only satisfied with your house, brother, you don't have the Spirit of God in you, because God sent His Son for the world, not just for you, for the world. And, brother and sister, the world is mine and your domain. Now, notice again, and He stood before the church to devour His child as soon as it was being born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to the throne. Now, brother and sister, I was thinking about this delegated authority that God is giving unto us. Now, some years ago, I had a green 71 model Cadillac. They were heavy in those days. 5,100 pounds, 2 ton and 100 pounds. Taking my baby daughter to school, I'd go up there to this little school at M.H. Moore. A little old bitty boy that would weigh 40 pounds soaking wet. Had this little old white harness on him. And that little old badge pinned to that little harness that was on that little boy. That Cadillac could grind him up into smithereens. could have crushed him till it probably could have only been a spot. But brother and sister, there was a badge of authority that was upon that child. If I hit that child, I would have to answer to the whole city of Fort Worth, Texas. Because why? He was wearing that badge of authority. And brother and sister, today, this is what God is delegating unto you and I, that we're wearing this badge of authority, and we may not be much within ourselves, but brother, the authority of God that's upon us, and God's behind us and backing us until he'll bring it about in mind your life. He said to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And brother and sister, today, as we said in Romans chapter 5:17, are you ruling and reigning with God today? Brother, you've got to overcome to rule and to reign with God. Then let's notice. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that she should be fed. Feed her there 1,260 days. And if you'll notice, that is 3.5 years. That is your first 3.5 years of your tribulation period. The 60-fold church, she's been fed there and nurtured there until she comes up till there's no spots left upon her. For the first 3.5 years of that tribulation period. You said, Brother Smith, thought I was going to be gone. Sorry to say. But the sons is going to police that seed that woman brought forth, that royal seed, is going to nurture her and feed her in that wilderness and take care of her from the enemy. Why is she down there again? Because she's birthing forth another remnant of her seed, which is the 30-fold down there. All right, but the sons are taking care of her for that first 3.5 years there. Notice again, and there was war in heaven. Michael, now, I know this is controversial, but I still believe this, that I believe that there were three high archangels. There was Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. Gabriel was a messenger angel from God that delivered the message to Zechariah and Elizabeth and to Mary. Lucifer says, I will be as the Most High God. I will exalt myself. And he said, for five wheels, in which is the five senses that he said there, I will. And Michael means, who is like our God? One day old Daniel got caught up in the spirit and he began to prophesy. And he began to talk about Michael going to stand up in that day. God said, Daniel, you close the book. You're going to stand with me in your lot in that latter day. All right, and now here is Michael is standing up. Brother and sister, I declare unto you that this war angel that's standing up to help you and I to renovate the earth, that we renovate this earth, that we renovate this earth, brother, is standing up within you and I today. And what is he doing? And his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against the angel. And prevailed not, neither was the place found anymore in heaven. Mothers, have you had problems of getting your prayer through to God? Daniel had a problem one time for 21 days. God said he heard him, but the prince of Persia had withstood and had helped the prayers. Brother, we're clearing the air that we're getting our prayers through now. Because we've learned not to pray it as a mist, but we've learned to pray according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Then let's notice again, as we look on into this, the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil. What was we talking about in the book of Genesis? I do not go around and blessing the devil and blessing his holy name. I have no conversation with him except dealing with him and getting him out. But brother and sister, today, I'm not going to brag on him. But brother, the church has let down to the church history of the world. Not only was he a serpent, but he's grown until he has become a dragon. Hello? Hello? Was cast out an old serpent called the devil. You sure he was described right, wasn't he? The whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. I read to you in the first of the message this morning how that the fiery cherubims was there, the sword, the flaming sword was there to guard the entry of the Garden of Eden because Adam and Eve were driven from the garden because of the serpent. But brother and sister, God's raising up this man-child, this overcomer today, brother, that's casting him out. We are no longer running from him, but brother, we're putting him out and we're putting him on the run. Amen. Hallelujah. The overcomer, the man child, has cast him out now. But brother, mine and your parents were driven out because of the fall. But the overcomers, you said, but brother Smith, what about that? Tree of life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says, to him that overcometh, and to him, to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Brother, I want you to know that's the only manna that didn't spoil folks and breed worms. Because that manna there, brother, was put into the Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah to God. But only the overcomer is going to be partakers of that. Not every Tom, Dick, and Jerry, but brother, it's him that said it and do it. I like old David. There was a man called Goliath. Walked out there for 40 days and 40 nights and he says, give me a man to fight with me. Is that right? Give me a man. Little old David come running there, little old stripling, about 17 years of age, just having to start shaving just a little bit. The Bible said he was ruddy. He said, I'll fight with this uncircumcised Philistine. Says, who is he? Sure, there was jealousy. But brother and sister, I want you to know is I've heard words against our church. I've heard words against this people and against the leaders in this place. But brother, I want you to know that jealous people is out there. They don't want to do nothing and they get mad if we do. Have you ever seen that? They don't ever want to do nothing, but they get mad when we do. But brother, I am here to tell you today that God is raising up a people that there's no way of the serpent upon this generation because they're being delivered. Hallelujah. God is walking in the freedom and the deliverance of our God and driving him out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard Brother Glenn binding him off from the premises of this property. Hallelujah. I walked over to my oldest daughter's house the other day. Her husband doesn't live for God. He wants to. And you see, he says, we're too fanatical. We don't have to pray and fast and seek God because we're already saved. We're too fanatical. I walked over there, and literally, as I knocked on the door, I said, God, I apply the blood over this doorpost in this house right here. Come on, folks. You said, Brother Smith, dream on. The Bible said I'd have dreams. Hallelujah. But brother, I'm going to exercise the ability of God that he's given unto me. Brother, I've seen it come to pass. And it'll still come to pass in mine and your day. So brother and sister, I learned the secret. Hallelujah to God. To gird up my loins in God and exercise the word of God. To walk in the domains of God. And Brother Glenn, it's God's promise to bring it about. Hallelujah. The other day, a real fleshly. I heard a good term in South Carolina. They don't call them fat ladies. They said a real stout lady. So this real stout lady fell over into the floor while I was ministering with having an epileptic seizure. I went back there and laid hands upon this lady. And just like that, by speaking the word, she sat up on the floor. Got up in our seat and sat there and listened to the word of God. Everybody was around was wondering what had taken place. Brother, it wasn't this little peanut preacher, peon preacher. It was the anointing of God that destroyed that yoke that was upon that woman. Brother and sister, today we've got power with God. We've got power with man today. It's time that we grow up and develop in God, that we exercise the word of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, today, the Word of God teaches you and I that we'll know where Satan's seat is. Hallelujah. I will know where he's at. Brother and sister, today, I've cried out to God, I want to know exactly where he's at. I want to know what your body has need of. I want to know what that they have needed. I want to be able to produce that need. I don't want to get around and hit and miss, brother. I want to flow in the Spirit of God that I don't hit and miss, but better be the very oracles of God in this earth. Michael stood up. Brother, when he stood up, Satan was kicked out. Sure, he left his mark on that first race. But brother, this last race, There's not going to be no mark left upon us. Why? Because we found a secret in God that we've learned how to get all these hang up and get them hung up and get them all from us. Hallelujah. The other night, as I was seeking, but I want to say again this morning, folks, that it's time that you and I arise to the place that we remove every mark. The way of the serpent upon the rock. Yes, in the earth, which is like mine in your flesh. Yes, when he crawled, then he gave us power with his creeping things. When he crawled through, yes, he left the mark. He left sickness. He left arthritis. He let our teeth fall out. He let all of these decaying and deterioration in our bodies. But brother and sister, in the Old Testament, you had to die to get. In the New Testament, you live to get. You live to get. Brother and sister, that's why they were reaching for today. But I want to tell you something. I want to bring a balance because I've heard people talking about their 500-word formula that they get baptized into. And they can come into this eternal life. But brother and sister, today you can't get baptized in it. You can't buy it. It has to be an inworking of God's life in you. Hallelujah. God that's going to bring it about, and nothing else will do it. Nothing else will do it. It's only the inworking of the Spirit of God to drive out the death, to bring in life. Where there is no sin, there is no death. No death. The two greatest forces of life that will form your life is heredity and environment. Brother, you can adopt a child, came from a fallen background and came from a fallen race, and you raise it up in a godly home and you watch that child start favoring you and taking on your attributes. Because why? It's the environment overrides the heredity. And brother and sister, today I want you to know you come in an environment with God. And brother, you're going to overcome that heredity of death. Because I know it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. But the psalmist said that he took our appointment of death. Hallelujah to God. He made that annulment of death and gave us life in him. Hallelujah. And brother and sister, today I'm going to overcome this heredity of the Smith. And I'm going to walk in God's life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But brother and sister, today many have tried to buy their way into it, tried to get baptized into it. And if we thought it was me and Glenn to baptize every one of you, and then I'd jump in and let him baptize me. But it don't come that way. It don't come that way. That's an inworking of his life. And remember, they both don't stay in the same house together and live together in harmony, because there's going to be war against the other. All right? Now, let's look a little further here. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. So, you see, folks, he works both shifts, doesn't he? Huh? He stands before the church, before you, to accuse you day and night. You said, Brother Smith, I don't believe that. There was a man in my early ministry. You see, I started out in this, and I didn't have no sense to know no better. And I seen, you know, the ones that were promoting themselves, and, you know, they couldn't deal with demons. They had to be up on the front line. So that everybody could see him. So I didn't have no better sense. And I saw this young man in Beaumont, Texas. And I said, there's one thing I may not know how to get him out of there, but there's one thing that I do know, I ain't afraid of him. And I went to him as a novice, and I tried to scream him out. I tried to holler him out. That didn't do no good. It takes the authority to get him out. I don't care how much. A lot of people think the louder that you holler, the more spiritual you are. I can't hit it because I get emotional. I wish I could settle down, but when this fire burns within you, he said it's just like a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Jeremiah said it's like fire set up in my bones. But you know something? That young man, we took him into the prayer room while they were getting into the prestige. And God delivered him in the first year of my ministry. First year of my ministry. But brother and sister, let me tell you today, folks, God is raising up deliverers today. That's going to cast him out, because we were cast out the first time. But brother, that's no longer the choice today.
we're moving him out. Because why? Because we have stood with God. And God's purpose is still the same today. To bring forth this ruling man, that there's no mark left upon you and I. No mark of deterioration. Because why? We're getting these marks removed today off from us. Now, I will my will to your will. And of course, my mother, she really helps me along. My mother says, son, you just go and you go. And you'll keep going to these foreign countries. They're going to keep you over there. Son, don't you know that you got a mother? Don't you know that you still got me and daddy? Yes, mother, I love you. You're the greatest woman that I've ever known. You're my mother, next to my wife. But I want to tell you something, mother. I've been called to a higher calling than what you're talking about. Mother, you don't understand. I love you more. And mother, just because of my sisters, I don't have no other brothers, see. Just because of my sisters come down and hold your hand. I said, mother, in my prayer closet, I can tear down them kingdoms that comes against you that you know nothing about. Because of my walk, this relationship with God. And brother and sister, today, it's going to cost you to follow that lamb whithersoever he goeth. Then notice what the... Now, these were redeemed from among men. It ain't everyone that says, Lord, Lord, that's going to enter in. It's he that doeth the will of the Father. So you see, they've been redeemed from the earth. And they've been redeemed from among men. And brother and sister, today, I want you to know we're coming into total redemption in God. That you're going to look at us and you're not going to see no sign of the fall. As they were mentioning Brother Leonard Fox and Brother David Shock, who is two precious brethren that I've ministered with both of them, and I love them there on the West Coast in California. And back in my earlier ministry, I was with them quite a lot, and I appreciated them so much. But I want to tell you something today, folks. We've got to go on. We've got to go on. And I appreciate these men of God that have dedicated themselves to follow God and to go on. But did you know, folks, you are responsible for the word that you hear. You're not to take it lightly that you heard it from a man or from a woman. But brother, when we speak up here, we're speaking in God's stead. A word from God to you. But I want to tell you something, folks. God is calling every one of us to go on, to follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. Would you stand with me this morning? Brother Chalk, Brother Fox, Brother Judson Cornwall. Was there in Brother Judson Cornwall's in Oregon one time? Young ladies that were just standing in the presence of God, tears were just flowing. The glory of God were all over their face. So the minister reached over to Judson and said to Judson, says, my, said the dedication of those young ladies, how that they're walking with God. Brother Judson reached over there and he said, 3 weeks ago, they were prostitutes out on the street. But what happened? There was no evidence of that mark. It was upon them. They came into the presence of God. How many of you ever heard that old cliche that we still got, all of us have still got skeletons in the closet? Brother and sister, when God makes you over, he makes you new. He didn't patch you up. He's not going to sew an old piece of garment onto the new, or new on the old, brother. He's not going to overhaul you. He's going to make you new. And brother, that's what God's doing for us today. That we will be like the way of the serpent upon the rock. Because we are of that rock generation of God. Jesus Christ, that rock, that chief cornerstone in that building. God bless your heart. You've been a beautiful audience this morning. God bless you. But folks, we've laid the word before you. I feel that I've delivered my soul to you this morning concerning this word. Now it's up to us what we do with it. Brother Glenn.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.